take the copy of the Word of the Lord. Turn to the book of Revelation. Book of Revelation in chapter 16. Last week we heard at the beginning of Revelation 16, the six bowls poured out upon the earth and upon the very throne of the beast, of the evil one. And now we come to what happens after that bowl and the seventh and final bowl and the final judgment. So Revelation 16, we'll read verses 13 through 21. This is God's Word. And I saw coming out of the mouth of the dragon and out of the mouth of the beast and out of the mouth of the false prophet three unclean spirits like frogs. For they are spirits of demons performing signs which go out to the kings of the whole world to gather them together for the war of the great day of God the Almighty. Behold, I am coming like a thief. Blessed is the one who stays awake and keeps his clothes so that he will not walk about naked and men will see not his shame. And they gathered them together to the place which in Hebrew is called Armageddon. Then the seventh angel poured out his bowl upon the air, and a loud voice came out of the temple from the throne, saying, "It is done." And there were flashes of lightning and sounds and peals of thunder. And there was a great earthquake, such as there had not been since man came to be upon the earth. So great an earthquake was it, and so mighty. The great city was split in three parts. And the cities of the nations fell. Babylon the Great was remembered before God, to give her the cup of the wine of his fierce wrath. And every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. And huge hailstones, about 100 pounds each, came down from heaven upon men. And men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, because its plague was extremely severe. And that is God's Word. And here with the sending out of the sixth bowl, we have the Battle of Armageddon, or what is described as the Battle of Armageddon. And the proper way to interpret this is, like always when we're in the book of Revelation, is to look at the symbols and the symbolism of the Old Testament, or similar symbolism that's in the Old Testament. And that's what we find in the Old Testament, is something similar what we find here, and that is that God's people, when there's no way for God's people to win a battle. How many times in the Old Testament has that happened? It was often, especially in Joshua and Judges and even 1 Samuel. There's no way for God's people to win the battle. And we find it very clearly that Yahweh wins the battle for God's people. And this happens, for instance, when the opponent has 900 chariots and Israel, God's people, they don't have any spears, they have no shields. Like in Judges 5, when Yahweh wins the battle. So Armageddon is just like that in that it is a symbol of every battle in which when the need is greatest and believers are oppressed, the Lord suddenly reveals His power and defeats the enemy. And the case we find here, it is when the world, under the leadership of Satan, the anti-Christian government and anti-Christian religion, that is the dragon, the beast, and the false prophet, when they're gathered, the world is gathered against the church for this final battle, and the need is the greatest as the world is attacking the church. It doesn't appear as the church will be victorious, and it won't be. That's what it seems like, and it will be that then Christ will appear and deliver His people. While this takes place countless times throughout history, it will reach its final and most complete realization before and in connection with the last day and Christ's second coming. And thus, like in other parts of Scripture, it shows Christ comes like a thief in the night, unexpectedly. So, beloved, we must be watchful always and be in prayer. Like Matthew says, we'll be watch and pray, lest you be tempted. And here, lest you be tempted to fret and fear the world, watching in hope, rather, for His return. And this precedes the great and final judgment, which we read about in the seventh and final bowl. In verse 17, you see the clear conclusion of God's wrath being poured out upon the earth, upon those upon the earth. And the picture of the rest of the verses, 18 through 21, is terrifying. and in the picture is complete. It's a finality to it. Notice the bowl is poured out upon the air, which causes all life on earth to perish. The entire anti-Christian empire that falls apart and is destroyed. Its cities and nations are ruined. And so God has not forgotten the sins of the wicked. Sometimes now, in our day, we think, you know, towards our enemies, God's enemies, God, you have forgotten your justice. When are you going to bring your justice about? And here he shows that he will not forget the sins of the wicked, but he deals his justice out completely and at the right time. And so the entire evil empire is destroyed and it falls into utter ruin. And that is the conclusion of the final judgment. And we'll learn the next section. We'll learn more details about our current day and then the final judgment again. And better pictures for God's people during that final judgment. Let's pray. Our Father, we do again come to you in the name of your great and mighty Son, Jesus Christ, who's full of majesty and dominion and authority and all glory. And Father, we come seeking your help, but praising you for your goodness and your mercy and your justice. Lord, as we've learned here, your justice is perfect. It comes at the right time, and it comes in the most complete way at that right time, on the final day. And we thank you for this word that we have heard, that even when it seems like the church will be conquered by the evil one and his servants, Father, you send forth your Son, and he comes like a thief in the night and rescues your people. And Lord, we thank you that you will rescue us, and that for some you've already rescued us from the slavery of sin and death. And you've rescued us by giving up your body and your blood, the body and blood of your Son. And so, Father, we do praise you and thank you for all the wonderful gifts and blessings you have secured for us in him. And here we learn of the great blessing that we have of being victorious in Christ. And, Father, we pray that you would be with us and grow us in faith, that you would strengthen us if that last day, that last judgment and the things here come upon the earth while we are here. Father, we ask that you would strengthen us for that day, that we would not fear the world, that we would not fret or be worried, and that we would not be part of this multitude that would blaspheme you. And Father, we rather ask that you would strengthen us to put our trust in you and to claim our victory in you. And that you would give us boldness with the proclamation of the gospel. And that you would give clarity as we proclaim it. That you would remind us in from our hearts the very words that you've implanted there. That you'd cause us to believe and that you'd cause us to speak of the great works of the Lord and what you've done and what you will do. Now, Father, this day we do thank you for this congregation. We thank you that you have remained faithful to us every step of the way for many, many years. And often we have been unfaithful, but you've always remained faithful. And so, Father, we call upon your name for help, because we are the ones who need your help. You do not need our help. Father, we ask that you would strengthen us spiritually and strengthen us physically to serve you on this earth. We pray that you would heal bodies. Pray that you would be with the Maxwell family and as they're struggling this week with and this day with ailments. That you would heal broken bones and cancers and strengthen those who have deep struggles with allergies and fatigue. Now, Father, we pray that you would strengthen your people to proclaim your word to the nations that through it and accompanied by your Spirit, as Jesus speaks, you would save your people, your elect, and bring them into the kingdom. And that's what we pray for ourselves and for those here, even our children. And these things we do pray in Jesus' name. Amen.